Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said you can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. We appreciate the opportunity of Bible study today. Glad you're listening, and we're hopeful to be able to say some things that will be of interest to you. We return to our study now, and we're talking about a statement made by Paul in Hebrews 8 and verse 5, when he told Moses to see to it that he built the tabernacle according to the pattern that was shown unto him in the mount. It ought to become very clear to us that if God gave a pattern for the building of the tabernacle, surely he would not allow us to do just anything that we want to in the church that Jesus said he was going to build. It becomes obvious that there is a pattern that must be followed by you and I today, just like the pattern was followed in the building of the tabernacle. Well, we've looked at the pattern in regard to the name that Christians wore. They were called Christians, and the pattern uses that particular expression. We also began looking at the pattern of worship. Not all worship is acceptable unto God. Some of it is rejected because it's not either in spirit or in truth. In John 4 and verse 24, Jesus told the woman at the well that worship must be in spirit and in truth. If it is not that way, it doesn't meet the approval of God, but rather would be rejected. So we were looking at the items of worship, the things we do in our worship to God. There are five in number, and we do them because they're authorized by the truth, and we do them in spirit, that is, from our heart. We look first of all at the matter of singing. Singing the songs of praise to our God is a great privilege to those who are children of God. What a great thing it is to be able to sing with our mouths, with our vocal cords, the praise of the God who made the heavens and the earth. Our God is alive. Great is our God. And various other songs which have to do with the greatness of our Father in heaven. We sing them because those are the thoughts going through our mind, but we sing them also in truth because God authorized singing and making melody in our heart. The fact is that many try to offer unto God worship accompanied by the use of an instrument. This is without biblical authority. There is no Bible that says they sang and they played. In fact, the very opposite is true. We see a man who was put in prison, and you remember his feet and hands in the stocks, and yet at midnight he was singing and praising God. Do you suppose he had a piano brought in so he could sing? Well, obviously not. And so singing is the practice practiced by those who are trying to follow what the Lord said along this line. Remember, the practice of singing is not a questionable practice. It is backed up by the Word of God. The questionable practice is the practice of singing and accompanying that singing with the use of the instrument. Remember, we must do it in spirit and in truth, that is, according to the Word of God. Also, the Bible instructs that we offer our prayers unto God. When I read Acts 2 and verse 42, I see that a part of their public worship was the idea of offering prayers to the Father in heaven. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. The offering of prayers, then, is a part of the worship that we offer to our Father in heaven. Our prayers are offered unto God because we are thankful for what He has done, and they're offered in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now look at the next part of it. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That is, our prayers go to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we offer those prayers and offer our petitions to our Father in heaven. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, Peter said, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Prayer is not something that God gave so that anybody, anywhere, at any time, regardless of who they are, could offer petitions to Him, but rather a privilege of those who are His children. When they say, "Our Father," that signifies the fact that they're children of God. They became children of God in obedience to the gospel of Christ. And as a child of God, they have a right to call upon the name of the Father and offer thanksgiving to Him along with other things. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul says that our prayer unto God is the supplication of our heart. It is the intercession in regard to others, and just simply the expressing of thanks to God. Let's look at those terms. The term supplication means to request. When we go to God, we request things. In the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, you remember He said this, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's a request, isn't it? And so we go to God making request. And God, of course, hears the prayers of His children. Not only is that true, but there are prayers of intercession. I read in the 4th chapter of the book of James about the apostles being placed in prison because they had healed a man and taught by the authority of the Lord the resurrection of Jesus. They were in prison, but when you read about this, as well as the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, you read that the brethren prayed, and the brethren were praying for those who were being threatened and told not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. That's intercession, isn't it? It's going to God on behalf of others. Great privilege to be able to talk to God about those of our acquaintances, those around us who need prayer and need the answers to those prayers. Then there also is just that talking to God. Prayer means that we just simply talk to the Father about the things that have to do with our life and things that we just simply don't know how to handle. We need His help and His instruction, and so we talk to God about it. Prayer, then, involves the idea of just talking to our Father in heaven. Then, of course, as we have looked at those things, we can see what is involved with our giving thanks to our Father in heaven. Giving thanks to God ought to be an important part of our life. Ask yourself the question, what do I have that God hasn't made possible? What is it that has been done for me that does not come as a result of God's love and God's goodness? And when you realize that everything comes from God, every good and every perfect gift comes down from Him, James 1 and verse 17, then you can see the importance of taking time in worship to simply thank God for what He has done. Think of it. Thank God for the Bible. You thank God for the church. You thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ. You thank God for the things that have to do with your physical health, your strength, and the ability to get around and do the things that you do. There are just so many things for which we ought to be thankful. We have been called in one body, and be ye thankful, Colossians 3 and verse 15. So the Bible teaches that a part of the pattern of worship is that of prayer. We appreciate being with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.